Please take the Bible and open to 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, as it is Mother's Day, and we will take a break from our study of the book of Matthew, appropriately so. We like to recognize special Sundays. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll read from verse 5. I'm going to ask those willing and able to, if you will stand with me, we will reverence the reading of the Word of God. Paul said, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for many godly women who are in our presence today. We thank Heavenly Father for their testimony, for their life, for their sacrifices. Sacrifices that I am positive we do not know all of. But we know the God who knows them, the God who knows their life. We know the Savior that many of them have trusted as their own personal sacrifice for their sins. So we come before you humbly today, Father. We ask you to encourage us, to strengthen us, each and every one of us. Not only the moms that are here today, but all of us need to be encouraged from your word to be faithful until that time you call us home, to our eternal home. We thank you for the homes that have been built here, but they're temporal at best in preparation for what's to come. So bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated this morning. I truly believe that we are in the presence of many great and godly women this morning. Some of you are yet to be mothers. Of course, some of you are mothers. Some of you are grandmothers and probably great-grandmothers, and I don't know, but yeah, there may be even great-great-grandmothers in our presence this morning, to which we are truly thankful. I recently read an article. It was entitled, "Here are 52 job titles that a mom holds on any given day." And I browsed through that list of 52. I wrote them down. I don't know that I necessarily want to share all 52 job titles that a mother may carry on each and every day, but I want to share some of them with you anyhow. The CEO of the household, the personal chef, and it says clients may consist of picky eaters. taxi driver, housekeeper, judge mom, daily court appearances, PhD in anger management. Hairstylist, mostly consists of impatient clients. keepers of secrets, food tester, family therapist, intervention at least once a week. Toddler wrestling coach, errand runner, laundry machine operator, teacher, toy repair expert, finance manager, potty trainer, search and rescue for lost toys, lifeguard, daycare provider, no thumb sucking enforcer. Those days may be bygone for most of you. Toothbrush inspector, playdate coordinator, birthday events director, kiss and hugs expert, boo-boo fixer, professional singer. And the list goes on and on and on. And of course, it doesn't include the x-ray vision that all moms have to see through closed doors and walls, you know, to see what's going on in closed scenes, you know. And so, you know, it's amazing. We do not understand. I am absolutely convinced that at least we as men do not realize all that a mother does and all the burdens that are a mother's heart. It's pretty incredible when you think about the list there that I've just shared partially with you this morning. And frankly, the burden that our mothers share can only be understood by another mother. I don't think any man really grasps the burden of a mother's heart. There's a brotherhood of mothers where only they understand what really goes on in their lives. Well, this morning we're going to catch a glimpse of a couple of Christian women who were mothers, and the eldest of them obviously had a daughter who gave birth to a son by the name of Timothy. And from Acts chapter 16, we learn from Acts chapter 16 a little family background, and we learn that Timothy's father was a Greek. He was a Greek. We're not given his name. We're told that Timothy's mother's name, you know, Eunice, and that's a Greek name. It's a Greek name. It's not a Hebrew name. But they still held on to their Jewish culture. It wasn't uncommon for Jewish parents to give their children Greek names at this particular time because they were living in predominantly Greek culture. And, you know, names are important. You learn a lot from a person's name, you know, and there are a lot of factors that go into choosing a name. And you as parents know that. You agonize. Some of you agonize. What am I going to name this child? What am I going to name my son? What am I going to name my daughter? You know, because you wanted it to reflect something. And so they named their child Eunice and Timothy, and they were Greek names, and they were living in a Greek culture, you know, and that influence probably, you know, they didn't want the child maybe to stand out for the reason purposes. You know, you can tell even where a person is from something with their names, the country that they're from. Well, in spite of the fact that they were living in a Greek culture, Eunice and her mother Lois, his mother Lois, remained devoutly Jewish. At some point, they transitioned to becoming Christians in their religion. And when these ladies became Christians, they realized that they had to push back against the culture that they were in. They had to push back against the Gentile culture. They didn't want Timothy heading down the road that their culture was heading down. And things aren't any different for moms today. You as moms today, you have to push back because your kids are facing a culture that is sinking to its lowest in the history of our nation. And things aren't any different for you. You have to push back. And parenting is hard. It's difficult. And it's hard to do without the pressure of a culture becoming more and more godless. But that's where you're at. And God has raised you up as moms and as grandmothers in this hour. This is your hour, just like Esther. This is your hour. This is your time. And you have to raise up children that fear God in a godless culture. And as Paul writes, what is probably his last letter to Timothy, and his mind is comforted by the fact that Timothy is the kind of man that he is. He's obviously a man of great faith. But he doesn't stop there. And he reminds Timothy of why he was a man that he was. And he reminds him it was because of his own mom and grandmother that had an influence on his life. And so he says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. And if you're looking at the King James Version there, it says the unfeigned faith. My version says sincere. So what does Paul mean by this unfeigned or sincere faith? He means that this faith is not divided. That it wasn't two-faced. That it was genuine. He wasn't a hypocrite. But he was true to what he believed. He didn't believe something and then act in another way. His faith and his life were in agreement. And that's almost unheard of in their culture, because when you became a Christian in their culture, it meant certain persecution. And it was difficult to remain true to your faith. But their culture was always testing them and trying their faith and trying to draw them away from their faith. But Timothy didn't give in to that. He had a sincere faith. And the reason Paul was mindful of a sincere faith was because he did live it out. Timothy lived it out. A sincere faith means that your faith is driving your actions. It is making you behave in a godly manner. It is making you behave with a holy life. And Paul admired that about Timothy. He saw that in Timothy. But what Paul says next about Timothy is enlightening. He says, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. Timothy's faith was a result of multi-generational faithfulness. It first dwelt in his grandmother. That's what Paul says. It first dwelt in Timothy's grandmother and then in his mother. And now Paul says it's dwelling in Timothy. Ruth Bell Graham died in 2007. Most of you know her as Billy Graham's wife. At Ruth Bell Graham's funeral, her daughter spoke. And her daughter said, "I don't believe Mother has adequately been recognized and honored for what she had done. Because without her, Daddy's ministry would not have been possible. How does one live with one of the world's most famous men?" She said, "God began training my mother for this position years ago in China. Her parents exercised a profound effect upon the development of her character and laid the foundations for who she was. What she witnessed in her family home, she practiced for herself. Dependence upon God in every circumstance, love for His Word, concern for others above self, and an indomitable spirit displayed with a smile." Did you hear it? Did you see? Did you see what she said? She said that while her mother was being prepared for being the role of Billy Graham's wife by her parents had a profound effect upon the development of her character and laid the foundations for who she was. That's what you call multi-generational faithfulness. Mothers and grandmothers, you are laying the foundation for future generations. Each generation is going to become more and more faithful through what you have done. Ladies, as hard and as difficult as it is for you to get the bigger vision, especially when your child is right in front of you and your child is being disobedient and being disrespectful or being mean-spirited, whatever the case may be, you got to keep in mind that you are looking at a multi-generational job. It's not just about the child that's sitting in front of you, you know, and as frustrating as it can be and aggravating as it can be. You have to look further down the road. You have to see all that your job entails. And beloved, I know that some of you are breaking generational chains. You're ending some stuff in your family's heritage that needs to be ended. And maybe your Christian home wasn't what it was supposed to be. And maybe your Christian home was a nominal Christian home. Maybe it wasn't a Christian home at all. I don't know. And God is calling you to start afresh and to start anew. But the fact is that God is going to move you in a new direction as you dedicate yourself to Him, to serve Him, and to be what He wants you to be. And you keep moving in the direction that God is leading you in. You don't know how God's going to use your children. You have no idea how God is going to, the plans that God has for your child. I am positive, I am sure that Eunice and Lois had no idea that Timothy was going to grow up to become the sidekick to what is arguably one of the world's greatest evangelists and church planters of all time, the Apostle Paul. I doubt seriously if they saw that for Timothy. But God saw it. God saw it. And now we look at Timothy and we see that his name is all over the New Testament. Mentioned some 17 times in the New Testament, more than any other of Paul's helpers. Your job, moms, is to be faithful. Let God use your children however God wants to use your child. It's not up to you to determine that. The plan in God's view is for every generation to become greater and greater and greater in faith. And I keep telling my boys, you have to do a better job than I did. And you know what? They are doing a better job than I did in raising their families. But I will be the first to tell you that the main reason that my boys are doing a better job is because of their mom. Because their mom loved being a mom. And because Judy invested in them and she taught them and she disciplined them. And more importantly, she spent time with them. She could have done anything she wanted to do in life. But she set her tone on being a godly mom. And because of that, my boys are who they are, doing what they are doing today. That fruit is being borne out in their lives. Timothy experienced multi-generational faithfulness. And then when we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, when we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and Brother Doyle covered this in a Sunday school class, and so we're going to kind of review here. In case you didn't know it, Brother Doyle is not up to par this morning. He's sick. He's suffering a little bit. And so you need to put him on your prayer list as well this morning. He's not feeling well. But I thank God that he's here today and that he's leading us in our worship service. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are given to you, the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So not only did Timothy have multi-generational faith, he had multi-generational teaching. Who taught Timothy the Word of God? It was his grandmother and it was his mother. Remember, Timothy's father was a Greek. From all accounts, it doesn't appear that he had any influence on Timothy's faith. You say, well, would it have been better if Timothy's father had an influence on his faith? Obviously, it would have been better. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Certainly, that is true. But God will use whatever means that is available to Him to get us to where He wants us to be. I was reading the story of a pastor recently who had become discouraged. He'd become burned out and church wasn't going like he wanted it to go. And he wanted to quit the ministry. And so he was like all of us do as pastors on some Monday mornings. We're stomping around in our living rooms, you know, and we're blaming God. We're telling God that, God, you really could, I could use a message from you today. You know, I really appreciate it. If you just speak to me, I'd like to hear your voice today. And so he gets through stomping around and he sits down on his couch and his wife is sitting there and she looks at him and she notices something stuck on the bottom of his foot. He looked down and he saw a sticker on the bottom of his heel. And you know, it's one of those stickers that, you know, Sunday school teachers give to their kids and the kids take them home. And, you know, well, obviously the sticker had fallen off of some of the things they'd taken home that Sunday and he had stepped on it. And little did he know that God was going to use that sticker to actually bring him back from the brink of despair and bitterness and hostility toward God. And so he peels the sticker off the bottom of his foot and he looks at it. And it's a very simple message, but yet it was very powerful. He says it literally, when he read the message and that little sticker, he said it literally took his breath away. It was so powerful. The sticker simply said, "Keep going." That's all it said. Keep going. And he said those two words pierced his heart like nothing he had ever experienced before. And even though God did speak to him audibly, and God doesn't do that, God spoke to him through that message and it literally turned his life around. And you ladies and you moms and you grandmothers may think you're not doing a very good job. And you may think you're failing, but I insist that you keep hammering away at living out the Word of God and you keep teaching it day in and day out. You just keep on going. I can guarantee you that Eunice and Lois kept Deuteronomy before them and they read Deuteronomy over and over and over again. These words which I am commanding you today shall be kept on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie
lie down and when you rise up. I can assure you these two ladies kept repeating that verse to themselves over and over again. There's nothing in that verse about you being perfect. You're not going to be perfect. God didn't call you to be perfect. He didn't call you to live a flawless life before your child. You're going to mess up as a parent because you're human. You're going to make mistakes. You are a sinner. You are less than perfect. Your job is to teach your sons and teach your daughters the Word of God verbally and then live it out before them physically. Your kids are not going to be damaged goods because you didn't live a perfect life. They're not going to be. Just because you mess up, and you're going to mess up, doesn't mean your kids are going to turn out damaged. But they need to know that there's only one who did not mess up, and His name is Jesus Christ. And they need to know that the only perfect righteousness that God is ever going to find in anybody is only going to be found in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And they need to know that just like everybody else who has ever been born, that they need to confess their sins and seek the forgiveness of God and have the blood of Jesus Christ cover their sins and so that they can start over again. And they need to see part of that teaching from the Word of God comes from you and your imperfections and you going before God and falling on your knees before God and repenting before Him when you blow it. They need to know how to act when they blow it. And they're going to know how to act when they blow it by seeing how you act when you blow it. They need to see your example. Ladies, you need the same message that the preacher had stuck on the bottom of his foot. You ladies just need to keep on. Keep on going. Keep on plowing. Keep on planting the seed. Keep on digging out the weeds. Keep on looking for the harvest. There's one more thing I think affected Timothy's life besides multi-generational faith and multi-generational teaching. And I believe Timothy experienced multi-generational prayer. And although it's not mentioned here that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, prayed for him, I think surely she did. And although it's not mentioned here that Timothy's mother, Eunice, prayed for him, surely she did. It's in a mother's heart to pray for their children. All the way back to the tradition of Hannah praying for Samuel. Mothers have a tradition of praying for their children and for their grandchildren. You say, how should they pray? I copied a prayer from a woman by the name of Michelle Grego who prayed for her children. Her prayer was based on Scripture. I thought it was a profound prayer, actually. Matter of fact, it's such a profound prayer, I copied it. And I have a copy for any woman or any mother or grandmother that would like to get involved in praying this particular prayer. But I'm going to share it with you. Based on Scripture. She prays like this. Jesus, above all else, I ask that You would call my children to Yourself and that nothing would hinder them from coming to You. May they confess with their mouths You as Lord Jesus and believe in their hearts that God raised You from the dead. Let the Word of God richly dwell in them. And even as they grow in knowledge and understanding, I pray that they will never lose their childlike faith. Lord, let our children know and embrace the magnitude of Your love and the freedom of Your grace, learning daily to walk and be empowered by the Spirit and not to carry out the desires of the flesh. Teach them to actively submit to You, to be quick to confess and forsake their sin, to resist the devil so that he will flee from them. And as they turn from evil, let them cling to You, love You, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. And in so doing, may they obey You and bear fruit so that Your joy may be in them. Help them also to honor us as parents by obeying us in Your name, tender-hearted and forgiving toward one another and others. And may they regard each other and all others as more important than the peers and mentors who will help us and teach and demonstrate for them how to seek wisdom, listen to counsel and walk in integrity, keep their minds pure, desiring and dwelling on all things good and praiseworthy and overflowing with gratitude. Finally, encourage our children's hearts. Lord God, to pray in all things. Grant us the greatest joy, Father, by allowing us to see our children walking in the truth. We give you all praise and glory, Lord, for all the work you have done and will do in our children's hearts and lives. Amen. What would it do if we prayed that prayer every day for our children to change our lives and their lives? Beloved, we need multi-generational faith. Mothers and grandmothers who are willing to pass down and live out their faith to their children. We need multi-generational teaching. Mothers and grandmothers who teach their children and grandchildren the truths of the Word of God. We need multi-generational prayer. Mothers and grandmothers who pray for their children and grandchildren. We all need to entrust our children into the care of God. As much as you love your child, the truth is, he or she ultimately belongs to God and God alone. And wherever God takes them, and wherever and whatever God wants to do with them, give them to the Lord first. Let God work out His desires in their lives. And at some point, God in His wisdom calls us to Him. And perhaps this morning, God is calling you to Christ. Whether you're a mother, a grandmother, or a child, if you're without Christ this morning, you really can't begin this journey until you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, may it be that your mother's been praying for you and you realize this morning God's call upon you because of your mother's prayers. And you need to repent and trust Christ today. Today, God's calling you to salvation. I'm going to ask that our musicians come forward, that we prepare for an invitation hymn. As God works in all of our hearts, not just the hearts of moms and grandmothers who are here today. God's message of salvation is open to all, for God would have all men to repent and come to Christ as their personal Savior. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, please, that you would bow your heads and we'll reverently approach the throne of God and allow God to take control of the final minutes of this service. So, Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the testimony of many of these great women who are here today, who have had one desire and one goal, and that is to live out the life that you have called them to be as moms, as Christian moms, as godly moms. Father, I pray that you'll bless these ladies in a powerful way. They face such terrible temptation in this world today. The pressure of our culture, the pressure of our society is to lead them away from following you. But yet these women want to tread a path that leaves footsteps behind them, that their children can place their feet in and walk after them and follow them as you are following the Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us today. There may be one here that you know needs Christ Jesus as a personal Savior, and you've been dealing with them for some time now. And today is the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will deal mightily with them and bring them before the throne in repentance and faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
5:24.